In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. Afternoon. Afternoon. Give me every time. It's all right. Morning is morning is morning is morning. Yeah, good. Good. Morning is the better part of the day, isn't it? Yeah. It's the toughest part of the day, isn't it? Yeah, for those of us who need to get up a little bit earlier, we don't want to. So, just have a couple of announcements to share with you. The first of which is we're going to be having some changes in the front office, which is good, and I thank you for struggling with us during this time. As you know, we talked about it a few times, that Pauline is no longer with us. She's taking care of Carlos, who's struggling there in California, but they've arrived safely. So thank you. They thank you for the prayers, and they miss you. The other thing is that, Rosalie Joyner will be joining us, pun intended, I guess, she'll be taking over that position in the front office as soon as this craziness of the elections is over with there. So we thank her for that service. And we also want to thank Pauline Mares and those who will be helping out in the office up until that point, just so that we can get everything squared away. If you still know anybody who needs sacraments, particularly First Communion, baptism, confirmation, whether they're of young age or more advanced age, let us know so we can give them the sacraments. Remember, I told you a rumor that you're supposed to spread far and wide, not just in our community here, but throughout the world, that the priest can never say no to anybody who desires to receive a sacrament. Can never say no. Spread that rumor, because it's true. He can say, let's wait, let's get you ready, let's help you to get there, but he can't say no. So we'll help whoever desires to receive any sacraments to get ready for them. So just come and talk to us about that. And lastly, please, there's been confusion, I've noticed, as to when we're supposed to kneel in at various moments, particularly before we receive Holy Communion, right? Or when we're getting ready at that time. So here's the rule. Anytime those tabernacle doors are open, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you happen to be, whether you're sitting in your pews or whether you're standing on the side, anytime those doors open, the Catholic response is to kneel in place, wherever it is that we are, if you're able to do so, right? If you're able to do so. So that's the thing. So if you know that the tabernacle doors are going to be open, go ahead and kneel before the doors open, because that's the whole purpose, to be prepared for that. But anytime, whether it's before Mass or after Mass or outside of Mass in any sort of way, you see those doors open, that's the response. It's just to kneel wherever it is that you are, because our Lord is exposed, and you're privileged to be able to see him, not hidden behind the doors of the tabernacle, but actually either in the ciborium or in the host in some sort of way. So just in case there is something, I'll remind you of that over and over again as time goes on, so that we can have the right posture in that way. A good part of our Catholic tradition that's been missing. The homily. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, St. Paul says to us, "Know, brethren, beloved of God, that you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with great fullness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Amen. You who are preparing to receive Holy Communion, or preparing to receive confirmation this year and in the following years, that's what St. Paul is speaking to you. Speaking to all of us, actually, that you're chosen. You're not here by accident. You're chosen for a purpose. God has called you. And what does he want for you? That the gospel doesn't come to you in just words alone, meaning just things that are sent here from the pulpit, or in a book that hopefully isn't merely corrupting dust on a mantle. But he's here to give you power, to give you his power, his life, his strength, by one, in the Holy Spirit, which is alive in you from the very first moment of your baptism and confirmed upon you, strengthened upon you in a new way through confirmation with a great fullness, so that you can live a life that you don't just get by, but a life that is lived to the full in abundance. You know what we're talking about, Sabrina. You know exactly what we're talking about, because you got it. So pray the rosary every day. Pray the rosary every day. That's what God is calling you to. Pray the rosary. Why? If whatever difficulty is going on in your life, hardship, there's not a single one of those things that can be not made better if you just pray the rosary. Spend time with Our Lady as she shows you Christ. Are you afraid? Is there something difficulty that's going on in your life and you don't know how to go forward? Maybe you don't know what God is calling you to do next. You're afraid to take that next step? Go ahead and hold Our Lady's hands. She'll walk with you through it. You don't have to go the way alone. She'll take you directly to Christ. Maybe there's something that you just can't bring yourself to, and the whole thing of it just keeps you stuck in a fear. Think of Our Lady's beads. Just a single touch of those beads can lift your soul up to a place where you're beyond this normal earthly plane and touching the things of heaven that endure long beyond when these cares that so hold you bound today fade away into eternity. Our Lady doesn't. She just will direct you to her spouse, the Holy Spirit. I was asked a question not too long ago by a number of people, by the way, not just a couple, who said to us, "Well, Father, look, you've asked us to pray this 54-day rosary novena. It's been great. But I've noticed something, that when we pray it, we're just meditating on the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, and the glorious mysteries. Aren't we forgetting something? What about those luminous mysteries? Why aren't we praying those?" The quick answer is this. The rosary novena that we've begun is one that was formulated in 1890. That's even before Elisa was born. She's not quite 18. So, or rather, I left that off. That the Luminous Mysteries didn't come along until after Elisa was born, rather, because they're only about 18 years old, in 2002. And that's when those mysteries came into being. So the Rosary Novena is long before that. But I'm going to give you the longer answer, why it is that we stick to those three mysteries in what is called the traditional Rosary. You remember a few weeks back that I spoke to you about that 15th century Dominican priest by the name of Blessed Alain de la Roche. You remember I told you about him that he was a man, even though he was a Dominican. And every day as a Dominican, he would take the Rosary and tie it around his belt and go about his day. That was a part of his uniform, the way that he lives, as each Dominican does. He wore it, but he never prayed it, and he certainly never preached about it. And so as he was going through his life as a great preacher, our Lord convicted him one day while he was celebrating Mass. Remember, he was celebrating Mass and looking at the host spoke back to him. And what did the host say? He said, Alan, why are you crucifying me again? He pointed out, you crucified me the first time by your wayward way of life prior to your conversion, but you're crucifying me again because you refuse to preach my mother's Rosary, which has been given for the salvation of souls and for the destruction of heresies. He was convicted at that moment, realized what he needed to do, and began preaching the Rosary from that moment forward. But I want to share with you something that the Blessed Virgin spoke to him about why it is, what the Rosary will do for him, and what she desired him to preach the Rosary with these words. This is what Our Lady said to Blessed Alan. Said, Alan, you were once a great sinner when you were in your youth, but I obtained for you the grace of your conversion from my son. Had such a thing been possible, I would have liked to have gone through all kinds of suffering just to save you. Because converted sinners are a glory to me, and I would have done all this just to make you more worthy of preaching my Rosary far and wide throughout the world. That's the way Our Lady thinks. She would willingly go through war just to make us more worthy to share her love with others. That's the heart of Our Lady. Not only that, but St. Dominic came and he appeared to Blessed Alain de la Roche and shared with him this. Here's the success, the reason why I was so successful as a preacher. This is what St. Dominic sent to St. Alain. Said, Alain, see all the wonderful results that I have gained through the preaching of the Holy Rosary. And you and all those who love Our Lady ought to do the exact same, so that by means of this holy practice of praying the Rosary, you may draw all people unto a life of true virtue. So what can we see from this? We can see that from these movements that heaven desires us to pray the Rosary frequently in that way. Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Dominic all came and visited Blessed Alain at a time when the Rosary had gone out of use. It was forgotten. It was put aside. The Black Death happened. Everybody was in trial and difficulty. They forgot about the Rosary. And so these three ministers, these three members of heaven came so that Alain would reignite the use of the Rosary within the church. Preaching it, he had great success. Many souls came back to God, but notice something that he never did in bringing the Rosary back. He never thought to change it for a new age. He didn't add new ideas or new mysteries or lengthening or shortening of prayers. All he did was simply remind the faithful of the power of the Rosary just as it was handed on to him from St. Dominic, from Our Lady. This was a pious and praiseworthy thing in the service of Christ in his church. But in September 1972, that's before I was born, by the way, in September 1972, there was a man by the name of Annabelle Bonini who was an impious purveyor of liturgical novelty. He's one who had worked to change the Mass in order to make it more like Protestant worship. But now he set his eyes upon the Rosary, Our Lady's Rosary, to attack it. Let me give you his plan. He presented this to Pope Paul VI, who was the Pope at the time. He said, my plan for the new Rosary, for renewing it and changing it to make it fit modern man more, is this. We're going to pray the Rosary, but there's only going to be one Our Father. We'll pray it at the very beginning, and then never again. And he said, the Hail Mary, that's not going to work either. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to pray the Hail Mary, but only the biblical portion of it, meaning the first part of it. So we'll say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And stop there. We'll say that 9 times. We'll leave out that other part. Finally, at the end, on the 10th time, we'll complete the whole Hail Mary and say that second part as well, saying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. But only on every 10th Hail Mary will we do that. What's more, Bonini said, here, when we pray the Rosary in groups, just like you, Gabriel, lead us in every week before Mass. When we do it, instead of doing it as normal, we'll just have a bunch of readings, scriptural and otherwise. We'll sing many songs. We'll preach sermons. But the lay faithful in the pews will only say one single decade of the Rosary themselves. Just one decade. Because that's enough. We don't need anything more. When Paul VI heard these words, he couldn't stomach changing Our Lady's Rosary in any way. And so this is what he wrote about that. He answered him in this way, speaking of this change of the Rosary. He said, look, if we did that, quote, the faithful would conclude that the Pope has changed the Rosary, and the psychological effect would be disastrous. Any change in the Rosary can't but lessen the confidence of the simple and the poor. The Rosary is to remain single in form and unchanged from what it is now. Let any new forms of Marian devotion take their place alongside the traditional Rosary. But the Rosary was to remain unchanged. He may have been willing to change the Mass, Paul VI, but not the Rosary, not Our Lady's Rosary. You see, all these liturgical revolutions, wherever it is they come, whenever it is that they spring up, what are they really? They're really revolutions against piety, the virtue of piety, against a respect for tradition, against a respect for what our spiritual fathers have handed to us on from generation to generation to generation. It's a thinking that we know better how to pray than those who prayed before us, because we're smarter, and we know how to do this better than they did. All liturgical revolution is always rooted in what? A spirit of pride, which is the very same thing which caused Satan, one of the highest of angels, to fall from heaven. But the Rosary wasn't spared forever. The Dominican Pope St. Pius V standardized the traditional rosary 500 years ago, but a Polish pope changed it in the year 2002, October 16th, just a couple days ago, right? 5 new decades of the rosary were added, 5 new mysteries were added in the Luminous Mysteries. In the 1960s, we were told that the old mass needed to be updated because it didn't meet the needs of modern man, and that the traditional rosary, it just wasn't focused on Jesus Christ enough, so it had to be changed as well. The new mysteries were needed to enlighten and to illuminate those who were stuck back in the dark ages, who didn't really know what they were dealing with. That is to say that they were saying that when Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic, it was some way defective, or it was lacking in something. Really, where they were saying that, well, when Our Lady gave the rosary, it wasn't really her best work, so we'll fix that. These changes weren't presented as obligatory upon the faithful, but mere suggestions. Here, do this. If you like it, go for it, or it can be left aside. If you find them useful, then use them. If not, go back as you were. Here's a question, though. How long is it, that, do you think, that it took the whole church to adopt the rosary in its new form, with the new Luminous Mysteries? 1 day. Within 1 day, nearly every religious house and every parish prayer group, no matter how distant they were, it took them 1 day to be able to change everything and to add those Luminous Mysteries to the rosary. Only 24 hours were needed to change 500 years of tradition directly from the mouth of the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. If someone offered any resistance to this change, they'd be seen as schismatic or trying to start a new church in some sort of way, that they would be anti-papal or against the Pope, that they would be resisting the renewal of the Holy Spirit that was going as he was for a new age. Don't be hidebound. Go forward with the Spirit. Remember Alan, Blessed Alan de la Roche, when he was called to renew the rosary, which everybody had forgotten to pray almost around the world, when he was called to bring it back, he didn't change anything about the rosary. No new prayers, no new mysteries or decades, no shortening or lengthening of prayers. All he did was simply reintroduce what the Blessed Virgin Mary gave to a people who had forgotten about it, didn't remember how powerful it was, and so it fell into disuse. So he just presented what was presented to him. Why do they feel that they could change the rosary? Here's the reason why. They felt that they could change the rosary because they questioned its supernatural origins. Here's how the logic went. If it was given, the rosary, given by man, and it was altered or changed or formatted by man, if the Blessed Virgin Mary didn't really give us the words to say and the method, then we can change the work of men, because they're no different than us, except for they're not as enlightened as we are in this advanced age. The New York Times, in the year 2002, at the very moment when the change was to occur, this is from the New York Times in October 14th, I believe, 2002. The last name of the man was Frank, I believe. This is what he said about it. This is the first two paragraphs of his article in the New York Times. He said, quote, "The modern membership of the church has witnessed many new things in the modern world, such as bishops visiting and praying in mosques, synagogues, ecumenical dialogue, new rituals, women serving at the altar. But another frontier was crossed when a significant change was made to the rosary, which will take place this upcoming Wednesday, which was a significant method for Catholic prayer for centuries," end quotation. He goes on in the article. You can read it if you want. St. Paul speaks about it just as he spoke to us a couple weeks ago in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 7. And St. Paul gives us here the three principal categories of mysteries that are connected with the life of Christ. What are they? He says that though the Son of God was equal to God by nature, he emptied himself and took on the form of human nature. And more than this, Christ was also obedient unto death, even a death upon the cross. And because of this, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every other name. What is that speaking about? That's speaking about the trinity of mysteries that we see in the mysteries of the rosary. His birth in the joyful mysteries, his sorrowful mysteries which show us the cross, and his glorious mysteries which is his rising from the dead. In three parts, but not four parts. It's a trinity. The three parts of the rosary, what they do is they match even our own everyday life. What did we do this morning when you were getting ready to come here? You got up and you got out of bed, you rose. Then throughout the middle part of the day, what do? You do the work of the day. Then at the end, what do? You go and retire, that threefold structure of our day. It's the same thing, that threefold structure we see within the Angelus prayer that we pray every day, the Angel of the Lord came unto Mary. We pray that at 6 a.m., at noon, and at 6 a.m. That's why you hear the bells ring specifically and more gloriously at those times to remind us to pray the Angels. Also, think about this. The Trinity is important because the Blessed Virgin Mary gave St. Dominic this Trinity as a weapon to defeat heretics and to convert sinners. She clearly spoke to him when she gave it, as I spoke a few weeks ago, telling St. Dominic, she said, "Preach my Psalter, made up of 150 Hail Marys and 15 Our Fathers." She gave us exactly what to say and how many times to say them. Our Lady drew the connection between her prayer and the biblical book of the Psalms which had 150 Psalms. So even though every person didn't have their own book of the Psalms or the book of the Bible in their possession, they could pray the 150 Hail Marys found in the traditional rosary, consisting of 15 mysteries, 15 Our Fathers that were indicated in that way. Consider too that when Our Lady appeared in Lourdes to St. Bernadette of France, the Blessed Virgin Mary asked this young teenage girl, just as young as you are, Alyssa, to go out there and to visit her at the grotto for how many days? 15 days, not 20 days. 15 days, and the two, on almost every occurrence when they met together, the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Bernadette prayed the rosary. 15 rosaries in that way. The 15 is important. Even Our Lady of Fatima, when she came in 1917, she set forth conditions for making the first Saturday devotions. Four of them. Do you remember what they are? The four are go to confession, make a good, worthy Holy Communion, pray the rosary, and the fourth one, which is to keep Our Lady company for 15 minutes while meditating upon the 15 mysteries of the rosary. All of this comes not from a man, but from the very mouth of the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think about even the order of the mysteries. How do they go? It's a beautiful thing that was put together. It's like a beautiful symphony that has its rising and falling, this beautiful movement that goes through it that makes so much sense. What do we do on Mondays? We pray the joyful mysteries, which are what? The wonder of the Lord's birth, conception. Mary's loving surrender to God's will, saying, let it be done unto me according to your will, not my will. Then on Tuesday, we go into the sorrowful mysteries of his suffering and death. On Wednesday, we march victoriously with him through his resurrection, glorification, and finally get to look forward to the crowning of the Blessed Virgin Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth, an event which has not yet taken place, but we look forward to in hope. Then what do we do on Thursdays? Again, that's right. We go back to the joyful mysteries. Then we go again to the sorrowful mysteries on Fridays, and on Saturdays, we would go back to the glorious mysteries. But then what do we do on Sundays? We pray the mystery that according with the liturgical season that we're in. During Christmas and Easter, Christmas and Advent, we pray the joyful mysteries. During Lent, the sorrowful mysteries. During the time of Easter, the glorious mysteries. And throughout the year, during ordinary time, each individual was able to choose what mystery suited what God was doing in their individual soul. It was a beautiful thing. It made sense. It had this beautiful symphony and rhyme to it. But then when the luminous mysteries were added on Thursdays, it made everything awkward. Because this is what happened. After completing the first cycle on Wednesday, you'd start on Thursday, going from the resurrection on Wednesday to looking at what? Some random mysteries of the life of Christ. And then on Friday, you'd do what? Jump from those random mysteries of his life to go into his passion. And then on Saturday, what would you do? Jump backward, and you'd find yourself over there at Bethlehem. You'd find yourself in the joyful mysteries. And then on Sunday, you'd somehow leap forward and find yourself at the resurrection. All this jumping all over the place led to great confusion. There was one Catholic author who observed this, quote, this one change alone shattered the symphonic progression of the rosary from birth to passion to resurrection. With this one change, the rosary cycle would collapse into a jumble of disconnected events as the liturgical week progresses. Then he talked about the various movements that I said of jumping about and showing them. And then he concludes with this biting question. He says this. He says, could anything be more discombobulated than moving from Calvary to Bethlehem and then to the empty tomb? Random jumping all over the place rather than gliding in as natural events should go. Only those who are desperate to embrace every novelty would embrace so readily such a change. So what does our Lord have for us in this time? That's a reason why we don't, in the traditional rosary, pray the luminous mysteries, because they weren't given to us by our Lady. Pray just as it was, in the pious way, accepting what was tradition to us, to pray like our grandparents and their grandparents and their grandparents prayed before us. It's that, to take a Protestant hymn, it's that good old-time religion. If it was good enough for my mom and my papa, then it's good enough for me. So what should we do? If you find the luminous mysteries helpful, pray them. I really like the first and second one. First and second one of the baptism, which I love baptism so much, and of the wedding feast at Cana, it's great. But when we want to receive the graces that are given to us in Our Lady's rosary, to pray it as Our Lady asked us to pray it in the way that she gave us, in the way in which we know that we can receive those graces by making sure we have that beautiful natural flow to it. And if we want to add something on top of it, that's great as well. But to keep things the way that they always were, because there's a beautiful symphony that works out in the midst of it. So whatever is going on in your life, whatever difficulty or hardship you're facing, just pray the rosary. If you find yourself in a way where you don't know the path forward and you're wondering how can you make another step, fear not, grab Our Lady's hand. She's willing to accompany you all the way through the various cycles of your own individual life. If you feel like there's something ahead of you and you're unsure, if you feel quaking in your boots and you don't know whether another step could be taken, go ahead and finger her beads. She'll steady your gaze. She'll direct you, not to herself, but always perfectly to her divine Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.